The presentation of our study is part of the series I've been doing this. Call it The Lord of Our Priorities. If you remember the July 8th, when I was here, we talk about the Lord of our worship. Thou art worthy, because God is looking for true worshipers, our Heavenly Father. And true worship is what? Reverent, joyful, but filled with praise and thanksgiving, and it's a life-changing experience. So I usually ask people, is there anything that we'd like to share to the Lord, saying praise to God for what He has done to us? If I'm going to ask, how many of us are here are so thankful that the Lord has been so good to us all throughout the week? Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3. Oh, praise God. So each of us could tell us how the Lord has been so good to you, right? And if He give you time, probably next time I'll ask one after the other, because Sabbath after Sabbath. And when I ask testimony, I'm not asking testimony that was happened last year, that was passed already, not even last month. I want the last week experience with the Lord, because every day we experience God's goodness, right? God is so good to us every day of our lives. So this morning, I'm very thankful. Now, the other Sabbath, I was here, we talk about the Lord of our thoughts, that God knows everything of us. He's God, He's omniscient, and He's omnipresent. But when King David realized that, verse on Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, when he said, "Search me, O God." So He knows everything about us. And even before you were born, He knows us. He knows our past, He knows our present, He knows our future. I'm telling you, God is so good. That's why I'm so excited to be with you. So I was in a hurry to be here before 8:30, and praise the Lord that we're able to start worshiping. So as we study this morning, the subject we're going to talk about, which is part of the Lord of our priorities, is this one. When we talk about priorities, what is your priority? Top priority. You know, if you talk to a man, they're talking about security, job security, not only the homeland security. You notice the homeland security are always insecure. I've noticed that. Even go to the border. I've noticed that one. They are more insecure. And sometimes they have a lot of questions to those people who are secure. But men are so much concerned about their security. What will happen for tomorrow? And there was a lady I talked to also who has some problem. He talked about, my top priority is my family relationship. How am I related with my dear husband, with my dear children, my in-laws, and even my outlaws? He said, I would like to. Then there's another lady, a gentleman said, I'm very much worried about a lot of things. Worry about this matter, about my mortgage, about my car rental, or my car payment, about my health. There are a lot of things. So when Jesus said, what about you? What is your top priority? And let me ask you in a heart-to-heart talk, brothers and sisters. I'm not asking you in theory, but in your reality. What is your top priority? And you know the story, when Jesus was with a group, He let us listen to the Sermon on the Mount, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Join with me reading the verse. Would you? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food, he said, and body more than clothing? Then as we continue on verse 26, look at the birds. You know, this is something that you will love here in Bay Roberts, in Newfoundland. There are so many birds, said, look at the birds of the air. For they are neither sown nor reaped nor gathered into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds them? Our heavenly Father. Would you imagine? I don't know how many of you are taking some birds at home. It's not easy. Every morning, right? Morning, afternoon and even before evening, I don't know. But our Heavenly Father feeds all those birds around us here. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add cubit to his stature? I wish I could add more of my cubit, right? Then Jesus continued, said, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And you could see this in our community. You know, the very first time I was in Canada in 1993, I was so impressed about the tulip. In fact, I touched them. Is this real or plastic? Because we don't have that kind. So I touched them. Then I saw that also in Ottawa, the tulip festival, the month of May. I was so impressed. There are a lot of beautiful flowers here. Anywhere you go, you see beautiful flowers. But the Lord said, consider the lilies of the field. Then Jesus continued saying, now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is with today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you or of little faith? Why? Jesus saying, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things, who seeks this? The Gentiles, in other version, the heathen, those people who doesn't know God, seek all these things. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Aren't we thankful our Heavenly Father knows what we're going to eat, going to drink, what we're going to wear? Everything. God knows. Remember we talk about the Lord of our thoughts. He knows everything about us. He knows everything what we need. So day to day, remember? When we pray, our Heavenly Father, remember our Father which art in heaven, what do you pray? Give us this day our daily bread. What can we not ask for? Give us this day our yearly bread. Do you think the Lord can give you a yearly bread? Yes, he could give that. He could provide us a yearly bread. But what is taught, Jesus is telling us, he learned how to depend on him on a daily basis. And said, our Heavenly Father knows these things. Then he said, but seek first the kingdom of God. And what? And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. How many of you have proven this promise? Have you claimed this promise? Praise God. So we are here to review again. What is this promise of Jesus? And this is something I'm very thankful to my father, because when as a little boy, he said, always remember this. Promise, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A lot of people are looking at all these things. They're not seeking the first, the kingdom of God. They want the added things right away. Right? But Jesus keep on saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, when Jesus was talking, people were so much obsessed with these questions. What are we going to eat and drink? And who are seeking this? Those people doesn't know God. Those people who believe that they are produced by them, they can produce by themselves. You don't need God. But Jesus said, this, what are the Gentiles, the heathens, looking for? So people are what? The top priority is eating and drinking. You notice that one? One time I was surprised, you know, in the channel, good enough here in CBS. I haven't seen television ever since I arrived here. I told my family. But in Florida, there are a lot of channels. Channel, food channel, cloth channel, a lot of these things. And they are so much engrossed with all these things that the world could give. And which is Abraham Maslow was saying, because this is hierarchy of human needs. What? Which is the physiological needs, the food, clothing, and shelter. We need that. And you'll find that a lot of people are focused on that one. This is the fundamental needs and so important questions. However, Jesus said, This should be our basic priority or top priority. In the world's population, United Nations Food and Administration Organization says that out of 815 million people of the 7.6 billion today, 10.7 are suffering from chronic undernourishment in 2016. Would you imagine that? Now, there are a lot of people, 815 million people, probably not here in Bay Roberts because we have so much, right? We have the garden. We have so much things. Look into that one. But in other places, that's why I was saying, when I hear some Americans or Canadians start complaining, I usually ask them, have you been out of the country? I said, what do you mean? Well, not all the country had a good air conditioning like this, good electric power, good nice place to go. You are so thankful. But when you start complaining because they cannot find these things and that, they are demanding so much with the government. I ask them, there are people who are suffering. In fact, 24,000 plus, I would say plus, they die every day from starvation. And one person every 3.6 seconds. Imagine that. And when those are 3.34 children under the age of 5 because of lack of food. Well, they could say, this is a form of survival. They have the right to ask the question. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink. It's a matter of survival for them. Eating and drinking, however, should not be the top priority in life. I do believe in Canada, we are so much blessed, even United States. This should not be the top priority in life. And when Jesus was talking to those people, he's not talking to Canadian American. He's talking to a lot of people, people who don't need much. Or didn't have much, I would say. But there are some people, instead of eating to live, they what? They live to eat. You know what? A lot of people, instead of eating to live, they would rather live to eat. In their mind is what? In fact, they'll find out, what shall we drink? There's a group of people, United States, bake an American-style deli donut that weighed 1.7 tons. 16 feet in diameter. Can you figure it out? Oh, what a big donut is that? They're concerned. And there's one stockbroker because he loves to drink. He spent $10,000 in single bottle of wine to celebrate with his buddies. Well, you say, that's his money. Yeah, that's his money. But imagine one bottle of wine for $10,000. There's so much focus on that one. Food and drink should not be the top priority of our life, as Jesus said. Yes, we need to eat morning breakfast, right? Then lunch or supper. There are some people who, what? They said they eat one day, but all throughout the day. In other words, they've been eating and eating. Focus. What shall we wear? A lot of people are focused on these things. Ladies and gentlemen, beware of this temptation. They buy clothes that we don't need, they said, with money that we don't have to impress people that we don't like. I've noticed we have so much clothes, right? We have so much things, material things, to the point that the walking clothes is not enough. You know, I remember one time I was invited by a Filipino group in Montreal. Said, Pastor, I want you to witness this. What is that? There was a bazaar in Montreal, Canada, in Quebec. And I'm so curious, what is this bazaar? This is a Jewish bazaar. They said, take note, at the last 5 minutes, when the organizer of that bazaar said, we have last 5 minutes, get the biggest plastic bag or garbage bag you could get. And you could put anything you want to put it there. It will cost you $5. Wow. So I'm just curious. I was sitting down. Then they said, last 5 minutes. Everybody was running. And I saw in this corner, there was one table. One lady put it, he said, her hands right away. And someone would like to get, and he, they were about to fight. I said, hold a minute. That's only clothes. Why are you fighting? Because he wants to gather in one table, put everything in her garbage bag for $5. And when someone took one clothes, they're ready to fight. Oh, Mama, I said, what are those things? These are those temporary things. They buy clothes that we don't need with money, that we don't have to impress people that we don't like. And not only things, even our houses or cars or, so to say, even toys for kids and adults, recreational toys. Jesus said, is this something that we need to focus on? Because he said, don't be preoccupied with all these things. Don't worry about these things. Don't make this as your top priority. Because God will provide our basic necessities for life. Would you say amen to that one? Not what I want, you know, but what I need. You know the difference between the needs and the wants. But, you know, I've noticed this also. Thanksgiving is coming up here. Good enough that Thanksgiving here is different from U.S. In U.S., Thanksgiving used to be what? The whole last Thursday of the month of November. Now Thanksgiving is a half day of Thursday. Why? Because the half day is going for commercialism now. They go to the mall for what? They open the malls now on half day. And I noticed also, which I'm so curious, what was Thanksgiving? Friday early morning, as early as you can. Probably 5 o'clock, they're already in line. Wow. And not only that, Thursday afternoon, they are already bringing their tent, sleeping at the mall, sleeping. I said, well, what are these people looking after? They want to get the best they could. Wow. But Jesus said, God will provide all our basic necessities. And Apostle Paul make it clear, my God will supply what? All our wants, all our needs, according to his riches. So Jesus saying, let our top priority in life would be what? Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now let's talk about those things, God's kingdom. There are two aspects of God's kingdom of God. The present kingdom, which in other Christians they said the kingdom of grace. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1:14-15. In Greek they said it's Anglican. God's kingdom is here. Oftentimes you think of kingdom of God is in the future. But he's talking about God's kingdom is at hand, is right now. Kingdom of God is what? Does not come with observation of what they say here, see here, or see there. For the kingdom of God is what? Is within you. Interesting. The kingdom of God is in your midst, Jesus said. It's here and now. I want to emphasize that. I don't know. Yes, we are an Adventist. We're looking for that blessed hope. Hopefully, while we're looking for that blessed hope, we know that we are part of his kingdom right now. Yes, I remember when I was a kid, we used to love the song Somewhere Beyond the Jordan, or There's a Mansion for Me, My Home's in Heaven, always thinking about the future. But what Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of God is here and now. In other words, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you become part of his kingdom. The quality of life makes a difference. Sometimes we don't realize that. Yes, we are saying there is such a blessed hope to look forward to, but brothers and sisters, I could say to all our Adventists, yes, the blessed hope is coming. The appearing is coming. But we could only be a part of that appearing. We could be only a part of that blessed hope if right here and now we are part of God's kingdom. What will you say? In other words, if I experience the presence of God in my life, I could only be a part of his soon coming. If I'm not a part of his kingdom right now, how could I be a part of that God's kingdom? The only thing I know in the twinkling of an eye will change is not. It's the body. The twinkling of an eye, we keep on talking, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Is when Christ will come, our body will change into glory. But our character, our mindset, If Jesus is not the Lord of our thoughts, Jesus is not our priority, it will not change, brothers and sisters. The only thing will change is our corrupted body in a twinkling of an eye. But if we want to be in that heavenly home, it's here and now is the starting. That's why if we enjoy the Sabbath, Sabbath day will be a wonderful day in heaven. But if we enjoy the Sabbath, don't expect you to enjoy the Sabbath in heaven. Because Sabbath after Sabbath, they'll be in heaven. If we enjoy the presence of God here and now, you enjoy the presence of God there. But if you enjoy the Sabbath here, how could you be enjoying your Sabbath in heaven? It's totally different things. So the emphasis here, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior here and now, you are preparing yourself for that coming kingdom. Remember the song, kids? You know this song? Where's the children? The song that we love to sing. There is a flag flying in the castle of my heart. I know, if I'm not mistaken, majority of you are Canadian citizens because you were born here, right? But when my wife and I fill up that form, when we apply for Canadian citizen, the very first thing they said, raise your hand and had an oath taken. Remember that? What's that? Loyalty to whom? To the Queen. I said to myself, who is that Queen? I was in Montreal, Quebec, that time we have the old 1997. Loyalty to the Queen. I remember in Buckingham Palace, they said in London, when the Queen is there, there's a flag flying in the castle. If Christ is in us, as the song said, there's a flag flying in the castle of my heart. For what? For the King is in residence there. If Christ is in residence in my heart, the flag is what? Flying. So the chorus said, so let it fly in the sky. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. For the King is in residence there. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus is in our hearts, we could tell the family, we could tell the world, we could tell the community, Christ is in us. Don't expect Christ in us when he comes for the second time. It's here and now is the time we could say he is here. So there is flung. The kingdom of God, talking about also the aspect is still to come. They call it the kingdom of glory. And that's what we are always looking forward. He said, lift up the trumpet and let it ring. Jesus is coming again. They're talking about this, the coming kingdom. But please don't forget, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here and now. And also the kingdom of glory. And again, the only way to be a part of that kingdom is to be part of him here and now. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying? And Jesus saying, that would be a wonderful day to be. And I like the story. The reunion in heaven, we're saying there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. But it's here and now. I have to start that experience. If my quality of life haven't changed, remember this, the true worship? After attending Sabbath after Sabbath, I don't know how many years you've been attending Sabbath after Sabbath, but this true worship is what? It's a life-changing experience. Our life will be changed according to his likeness. Because the only way to be a part of God's kingdom when he comes is to be a part of his kingdom here and now. How would you like to say that? Are you thankful for that? Now let's talk about his righteousness. We talk about his kingdom. His righteousness tells us that all have sinned. We are all sinners. If someone of us here will say, you are not a sinner, but the Bible says, you are a liar. In other words, all of us sin, we come short of God's glory. And because of that, no one is righteous. If no one is righteous, how could we be in the presence of the Holy God? And we learn from Romans chapter 3, verse 26. The wages of sin, because we are all sinners in Romans 3:23, and because of that, we come short of the glory of God. And because of that, the wages of sin is that we're about to die. You know, that I was dealing in a hospice. We have a lot of hospice patients. I don't know here in Canada, but in U.S., when the doctor says, my dear, we have done our part of curing, but this time it's caring, meaning to say they have done their part. Oftentimes you have 6 months to live. And when they tell chaplain, you have a new patient, you have to visit this one. However, maybe young and old, male and female, I will not say you have 6 months to live because the doctors don't have told them. And we are all in the same case as per spirituality. We are in the hospice cases. If we don't accept the offer of free gift of righteousness, what's our direction? We are about to die. We have death penalty. But praise be to God, Romans 3 verse 23. But the gift of God is what? It's eternal life. Through whom? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we are, aren't we thankful that when we accept in Jesus Christ, the death penalty was relieved from us. Rather, God has given us the gift of eternal life. And eternal life is not something what? Not to be earned. Because it's a gift. You don't buy it because it's a gift. It's God's gift. And the salvation is what? From Him. My good works will not save us. You know that. Keeping the Ten Commandments will not save me. But because I am saved, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Aren't you thankful for that? And because I'm saved, His grace is sufficient for me to follow, to enjoy the Sabbath, to enjoy how do I keep my body in good health. Because His grace is sufficient for me. So that is righteousness. And His plan of salvation, He said, take note of this. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So Jesus took that part. Then He said, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Him. Aren't we thankful that God, who is not a sinner, became sinner because of us who are sinners? He took our place. He was the one who answered the penalty of my sin, of our sin. And Apostle Paul make it clear to us, brothers and sisters, Philippians chapter 3. Join with me reading, please. Shall we? Let's read all together. Yet, I also counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You know, the context of this, when he wrote to the Philippians, he was saying to them, who among you have more confidence in the flesh? If you read it in verse 4, he said, I belong to what? Tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. To the law, I'm Pharisee. What Apostle Paul is telling us, brothers and sisters, is there anyone among you have confidence in the flesh who could be proud of yourself? I have more. Why? I belong to the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee. In other words, he's telling I belong to the what? The lineage of Abraham. But he said, I count them as what? Rubbish. In other words, non-essential. It's not important as far as salvation is concerned. I cannot say, Lord, I'm ordained pastor. I cannot say that. Because if Apostle Paul said all those rubbish, he's a Pharisee. What is important that I may gain Christ. Knowing Christ Jesus means a lot of things. Because knowing Christ Jesus is what? Eternal life. And as we continue saying, Philippians, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So brothers and sisters, our salvation is not because we are good. Remember, our good works will not save us, just like the filthy rug in Isaiah. It's not just a filthy rug. The rugs that have been used for to cover the wounds are the description of the filthy rugs. In other words, our righteousness is nothing. We cannot be proud of ourselves and, Lord, I'm good enough. You need to save me. Jesus saved you because you are sinner. And we accept that offer of salvation. That's the gift. So, brothers and sisters, yes, earthly needs and desires like the food or what you want to eat, drinking, clothing, houses, cars, toys, everything and more. It's what the attraction of this world. But what is more important, as Jesus said, all these things is not essential. But if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I would like to make an appeal to you. Would you like to be a part of His kingdom? Not the coming kingdom, but the kingdom right now. Because we can only be a part of God, the coming kingdom, if here and now we are wholeheartedly giving our lives to Him, submit our lives to Him. Even the resources that we have given to us, would you like to commit ourselves together with all our families? But for sure, we cannot answer for our children, but for us. My appeal to you, brothers and sisters, is knowing that Jesus is saying us, he who wants to follow me will deny himself. Wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. Oftentimes we say, well, probably I could be a part of the church half-heartedly. God is not accepting half-hearted service, brothers and sisters. He's asking us if we want to give our life totally, wholeheartedly to him. Because he said, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all the things of this world will just be given to us if we give our lives to him. So my appeal to you this morning, is there someone among us would say, Lord, I would like to stand because I would like to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness wholeheartedly. Is there anyone of you who would like to stand? God bless you. God bless you. You know your relationship, that Jesus loves you. He calls you. And we come together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we open your word, and the words of our loving Savior keep on reminding us that if you seek first, if that is our top priority, by seeking your kingdom and your righteousness, all these things will just be added to us. Because we know that you know our needs. You will supply our needs according to your riches as promised to us. So we're standing in your presence this morning, knowing that you are the Lord of our priorities. Will you please accept our dedication to you? You know, dear Lord, each one of us, you know our hearts. Probably we could hide it from our spouses, our children, even to the church members, to the officers, to the elders, to the pastors. But we cannot hide anything from you because we learned last two Sabbaths ago that everything about us, you know. If our service is half-heartedly, help us to be a wholehearted service. If our commitment is half-hearted, dear Lord, you know, help us to totally commit ourselves to you. Lord, thank you so much for accepting our dedication this morning. As we sing that song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Let Jesus dwell in us, and through us, we could share the world, share the life, to our family, to our spouses, to our children, and to the community where we're living in. In His name we pray. Amen.